Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Purple Project Podcast is back on the airwaves again. Eddie Greer III here for the newest K-State podcast here in Wildcat Country, Manhattan, Kansas, here on recording on this Saturday, of course, the first Saturday of June. June 6, 2020, and this Purple Project Podcast is all about the latest in the happenings of K-State athletics. And, of course, a little sprinkle of what's going on right here in the Little Apple, the community of Manhattan, Kansas. Before we dive on in to this episode, of course, yes, follow me at Eddie_EG3. And, of course, Alex Aiden at AF Aiden on Twitter. And you can find the Purple Project Podcast, Triple P, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We are working... we are working hard to get another, at least one or two more podcast affiliates to get joined, linked up with the Purple Project Podcast. So definitely listen on Spotify if you have not listened to the first few episodes already. And of course, we landed a spot on Apple Podcasts a few weeks back as well. So it's please important if you're a K-State fan, either living here in the state of Kansas or outside of the state of Kansas, whether you're living Georgia, South Carolina, Texas, you catch my drift. Tell a friend about the podcast. That will definitely get a lot of attention here as we continue to get this thing rolling. And speaking of which, though, Alex was supposed to call in today, but we're gonna go ahead and begin with him without him, because as I mentioned in the prelude / trailer edition of this podcast, I will do a few episodes solo. So I was committed to do that. If I have to do this part one solo, I just have to do just that, because we've been debating back and forth whether we should do two-part on men's basketball. That is the topic here for this edition of this podcast here this afternoon. And of course, yes, all new episodes will come out on Tuesday morning of the Purple Project Podcast, K-State newest podcast here in the United States. But before I dive on in to the men's basketball from this past season, which was absolutely horrendous. Obviously, I talked about them in other podcasts, a three-wide podcast with EG3, another podcast that I do that has picked up a lot of steam over the past couple of years. Obviously, you know, the main topic, what's going on around this country, is obviously what happened up in Minneapolis. And you, if you've been following that, you very know well what is going on currently in this nation. If you have not, then I don't know what to tell you. But we'll start off on that subject for just a few minutes here on this show. And if we do get a phone call, if I do get a phone call from Alex, we will take a break and we'll bring him in here, hopefully here in a little bit, as he was having his car broke down last night. So, and from what he tells me, they're still working on trying to get that all taken care of, at least. I don't know what broke, but hopefully he'll call in here at least for a little bit to get his takes, obviously, on the situation. But if not, obviously, he's a co-host of the show, so he'll be back. Don't worry, he'll be back on next week. But right now, you know, the situation's at hand. And with all the stuff going on, I said it pretty bluntly on a NASCAR podcast. And I will say it here. Very, very disappointed. Upset. Disappointed. Pissed off. You can name all the angry words that I want to say on here. Yes. So I'm gonna try to keep PG-13 the best that I can, but you know, I get really pissed off, especially at stuff like this. I mean, I feel like I just actually got off the phone not too while ago with a good buddy of mine that I went to school with back at Barton in Great Bend, Kansas, and I'm pretty sure he called at the wrong time, bless his heart, but, you know, we did talk for a few minutes, and he lives in Chicago, right? He moved back to Chicago after going to school at Barton, and he has to endure. He's right in the thick of the deal right now. So me and him were talking about just for a few moments there before he had to go to work there. And yeah, I'm gonna say it here, like I said it in the Three Wide podcast. We have to do more. We have to do more than just sit behind, sit on a cell phone or behind a laptop and just go off and then at the same time be a double standard. It can't be a double standard. And this is coming from an introvert person that loves to be active, you know, I'm not a big talker. And that's for somebody that has two podcasts. I'm not a big talker, but when people come on telling me that the quiet ones get the most, you better listen to the quiet ones, then you better listen. And this is one of the things right now. We have to be more. We have to be better. That's just plain and simple to what is going on. Obviously, with Ahmaud, with the whole, I didn't even know about going back to the Ahmaud Arbery situation. I didn't even know about that till towards the end of a couple of weeks ago. So, and the details that happened there is very, very disturbing. And speaking of which, he's calling, and I'm just going to bring him on in here right now. I'm just going to bring him on right now while I'm talking about this. In the middle of the beginning of the Purple Project podcast, welcome back our co-host, Alex Aiden from San Diego, California. Alex, man, what is going on with the car?
Well, thanks, Eddie, for that. The car is currently to be determined. So yesterday, I so I go to the grocery store after work, right? You know, pretty normal on a Friday. And went to get in the car, wouldn't start, and I was like, must be the battery. So I texted my brother and my dad. I was like, hey, meet me tomorrow morning. You know, let's jump the car, get a new battery, put it in, and we'll be good to go. So it was not that easy. There were some issues along the way. And now, for some reason, my shift alternator or shift gear, or I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's not working properly. So now I got to take the car to the dealer. So I'm just going to throw that at me. And just to top it off, this morning my fob wouldn't work. So I couldn't, get through my apartment. So I couldn't even get to my car. So this day, Eddie, has been a little bit of a pain in the butt, which is kind of fitting because we're going to be talking about a K-State basketball season a little bit later that was also a bit of a pain in the butt. So maybe it's kind of an omen for the show, all of it. But I'm here, and I'm ready to talk K-State sports, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters, that's for sure. But yeah, you called kind of at the perfect time that right in the middle of what I was talking about, the obvious situation that's going on in this country right now. Yep. About the George Floyd a week and a half ago, I don't know the exact timeline, and then
you go back
before that, the Ahmaud Arbery situation, which was very disturbing to find out the details of that. That happened a few months ago, and you know, I'm gonna finish. We'll talk about it a little bit here before we dive on into, well, unfortunately, K-State men's basketball. But I'll say it again. I said this three times already, not even 10 minutes in this podcast, but I said this on my NASCAR podcast, and I'm gonna say it here. We have to be more active in our communities, whether it's right here in the Little Apple, or out there in San Diego, or wherever you're living at. I just got done telling the audience, Alex, I was in a phone call for 10 minutes with a good buddy of mine that's actually in Chicago right now. And we'll be talking again later tonight because he called at the wrong time because I'm riding solo with Emma this weekend. But, you know, it's very, for me, yeah. But that's actually been going good so far. So.
Good.
I have Kate's grandparents over while I'm recording this podcast currently, so they are happy to stop by and to watch her for the time that we're doing this podcast right now. But yeah, but from my perspective, African American, black dude does this podcast, another podcast. It's very angering, maddening, and disappointed. About all of this, and I feel like we're living in a cycle where senseless stuff is just happening for no reason. So, and I'm just gonna do it short and sweet because I can do. And you would have told the younger Eddie version of Eddie a while back, I had no answer for you, and still wouldn't. But I. As I've gotten older and much more mature, I'm starting to understand, even from an African-American perspective, still learning about my culture on how all this is still going on, even back then in the early 1990s. So, I mean, it's very up-maddening. And obviously, we had marches here in the bad protest is the peaceful protest here this past week, and obviously Jonathan Alexander, the current that we talked about a little bit for the K-State defense last week, he took part of it. Harry Trotter was with him, and another guy was involved in Peyton Williams, the recent K-State alum for women's basketball, took part in a little march in Topeka. Now Topeka, on the other hand, had peaceful and doing some late night stupid stuff in Topeka last week. So I don't know how it is in San Diego right now, but man, that's where I'm at with all this. And we have to be more active in our communities instead of sitting behind a computer or a cell phone, typing this stuff out and not doing a damn thing about it. So Alex, I was wanting to get your thoughts on the sad situation in Minneapolis and what is going on right now, and besides with the whole African-American community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and first off, it's funny you mentioned Jonathan Alexander. I actually had the opportunity to exchange tweets with him a couple times this week. One was totally unrelated. Definitely him being in Manhattan and being excited about it. The second was regarding... essentially him saying that, you know, this is, you know, everyone needs to be better was really the moral of what he was saying. And so we exchanged tweets there a little bit. But first, I've seen some of the videos that have come from Manhattan. It's great to see how many people are involved in those peaceful protests in Manhattan. That's really cool to see. I saw Tyler Lockett actually acknowledged it on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I saw, yeah, so some case dates. Athletes take part in it, and also the athletic programs came out, you know, in support of these players and Black Lives Matter and things like that. So that's all been really cool to see. You know, I had a real interesting discussion with actually a group of my friends about it yesterday, and it was really powerful to hear a lot of different people's perspectives. And the thing that I keep telling people is, you know, there's clearly an issue in the country that can't be denied. And it makes everybody uncomfortable, you know, but that's not a bad thing. That's not a reason to shy away from it because it makes you uncomfortable. You know what, if anything, that means that this needs to be addressed, you know, what's going on in this country. Now, obviously, a lot of people have different opinions on how this should be, you know, how we should address these issues. And obviously, we won't get into all that here. but that could be a whole other thing.
Yeah,
absolutely, needs to be changed, and to see the obviously seeing what happened at the beginning of the protests. It wasn't even the protests, the rioters and the looters who did those things. That was heartbreaking to see, and unfortunately, you're still seeing a little bit of that. But that is the minority. The majority are out now, and they're peacefully protesting, and that's really neat to see. And you're seeing a handful of law enforcement take part in some of those protests now, as well, which is really cool to see. So the NFL yesterday come out and say essentially they were wrong on the social injustice issues with African Americans, and that they condemn racism and they encourage peaceful protests. And so it was encouraging to see that as well. For me, I've told people that, you know, I can't, and that's the thing, you know, Eddie, is, you know, we're two people have bring two different perspectives to it, and I can't understand the way that you can, and that's just the truth. I can't, and so what I've told people is, you know, I want to hear everyone, and I want to listen to everyone. I see, where can I be better? You know, what can I do as a white male in this country who does have white privilege, I'll be 100% honest about it. What can I do to open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart to this issue that can bring upon positive change? Because for me, you know, I have friends that are from every different ethnicity that you could think of, and I love them all. And you know, for me, it is about you know, addressing issues in the country that need to be addressed, and I'm gonna love all my friends, and I know I don't ever want to do something that's going to be insensitive to those friends. So, look, I told a couple of my African American friends, call me out, you know, if I don't understand something, and explain it to me. And that's actually happened once this week, where there was something I didn't understand, and I had a couple of my black friends explain it to me, and I did get it at that point. And I think that there needs to be more of that open dialogue and discussion, and people need to be willing to hear other people and be able to notice and address the issues in this country, and change needs to come about. So it's been really encouraging to see that. It's been sad to see some of the things that have happened. It's been really encouraging to see other things. But I don't think that there's any, I can't remember in my lifetime. There's been a handful of incidents, obviously, and a lot, and they've been heartbreaking to see. I can't remember this type of impact from one singular incident. It's really not one singular incident. It is multiple. Since you talked about, you know, we've got, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, all within this kind of recent realm. So it is actually a handful, but the George Floyd one's really the one that got it all going. I can't remember this much agreement from the country in the country that there is a problem and it needs to be addressed. So I'm encouraged about that. I'm hopeful that it can lead to some much needed change, because you know that we've known there needs to be change, and sometimes it just seems like people would hide from it, and you can't hide from it now. You can't. What's going on? You can't hide from it. And so, you know, for me, I said this on my social media profiles, and I'll continue to say it. I've always been a supporter of police, and I'll always back the blue. I'll always back the blue. With that said, you can't ignore what has happened. So, you know, there needs to be change, and police officers need to do better. And I just encourage everybody to open their ears, open their eyes, open their hearts to what others have to say, and you know, really be able to, you know, if people can do that, I think that the world can become a better place, because ultimately that's the end goal. You know, we want to make this world a better place, and we want it to be equal for everybody. And you know, we need to do our part to you know, make sure black lives are, you know, matter, and that black people are heard, and those issues are addressed. So, like you said, there's a lot to it, especially with what's happened the last couple of weeks. I know that I've really felt this heavy burden this last week. And this might, I don't know if this sounds silly or not, Eddie, but I even sat here some this week feeling guilty for being white. And that's dumb silly thing to say. But, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, I wish I could help. I wish I could put myself in their shoes. I wish I could do what I can to help. And it's just kind of been a helpless feeling for me. And you know, I'm trying to be careful with everything I say, because the last thing I want to do is say something that's insensitive. But it's just been a really heavy feeling, and I really hope that everybody can be open and willing to listen to each other and address these issues. And I stand with all my black friends, and I stand with them, and I'm there for them. And I'm same with the K-State athletes and the K-State family. You know, we talk about this K-State family thing. You know, Eddie. You know, K-State family. Family's been the mantra for, at least 10 years within the K-State athletic, athletic departments. It truly is a family. And, look, if somebody in that K-State family's hurting, it hurts us. And it hurts me. I don't want anyone in that K-State family hurting. It truly is a family to me. And I think you would agree with that. And there's K-State athletes that are hurting right now. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, this K-State family can rally together and be there for each other and stand with each other and then ultimately, you know, lead to some changes. But, it's great to see. It was great to see what those student athletes did. And, you know, it's been great to see what's happened in Manhattan. Here in San Diego, things started a week ago. It was pretty, there was some fires and some looting and some things like that were going on. But after last weekend, that's pretty much, for the most part, gone away, and everything's been pretty peaceful. This past week, knock on wood, it stays that way tonight again here in San Diego. Protests in different parts of San Diego that have been going on all through the county. But that's kind of what we've seen here. And then I've also been keeping a close eye on Kansas City, you know, where I'm from, and seeing what's going on there. It looks like they've had some protests there, and it was the same thing. They had some violent, some issues with some fires and riots and injuries and things like that last weekend. And it seems like this week it's gotten more peaceful there as well. So hopefully, you know, it continues that trend. But I don't know if you saw this actually, Eddie, but yesterday in Washington, D.C., they changed the mayor of D.C. He actually renamed the road that actually goes, I think it goes by the Liberty Memorial, and it goes up to the White House. He actually renamed it Black Lives Matter, and they painted it on the road. So in like big yellow letters going up the road, it says Black Lives Matter, and that was really cool to cool to see that. You know, in the nation's capital. So, it's nice to see some of these changes. And, well, obviously, I can't remember who said it, but some athlete on ESPN said it perfectly. I think it was on ESPN. They said, it's like we're running a marathon in mud. It's hard. It's difficult. It's exhausting. You're not moving very fast, but you've got to continue to do it, and you're slowly making progress. So I guess we continue this marathon through the mud and see what comes of it.
Yeah, I can I can definitely relate.
You would really understand that.
I can understand that.
You are.
Yep. I can definitely understand where he was coming from there, so I definitely understand that for sure. So this is...
Can you imagine running a marathon in mud, Eddie?
But I have not actually, run a marathon in mud yet, though. But I definitely understand now.
Put it on your list.
maybe I will. Maybe I will. But to tie what you said about family of K-State, I'm gonna wrap this up perfectly with a tweet from K-State Athletics here from last week. Yeah, at K-State we are one family, and emphasize our support for our black student athletes during a very, very difficult time. The K-State family consists of individuals with a vast range of experiences, beliefs, values, intellectual capabilities, and cultural views. Respect for these unique characteristics allows for our student athletes to achieve their full potential while enjoying the beliefs of a rich learning environment. Our family is committed to creating and maintaining an environment that embraces and celebrates diversity, where all people are valued, supported, and respected. At K-State, we are a family. This tweet right here says it all. This doesn't obviously pertain to black people, obviously. It pertains to everybody. It says diversity. Well, diverse. And I told people, a few people in the past, this, that K-State is one of the more diverse universities in the United States, hands down, in my opinion. So, I mean, from whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, you name it, K-State has it. And yeah, I've been thinking about that as of late. You know, the whole theme, family. We're all one family. We all believe the same. I mean, that just sums it up right there for me, perfectly right here. This tweet, and shout out Manhattan, Little Apple, for the peaceful protest. Hopefully, Lord willing, we can start heading in the right direction. We need to start heading in the right direction. I mean, a lot of athletes have kids, and I can somewhat speak to this now, that you don't want your kids to grow up in this type of environment where it's scary, man. It's scary, and it could be in a situation is that. That right there, the names that you named off, that I've named off, that it could be easily one of us. That could be me. It's a really scary situation. So yeah, family, K-State family, we have to all come together and be better for each other. Be there for the good times, the bad times, and the funny times. We have to be done.
Everything in between. The good times, bad times, funny times, everything in between. You know, K-State families got to be there for each other and support each other. And I think, just based on what I have seen from the K-State athletes on social media, it seems like they're feeling that love. I could be wrong. But it seems like they really are feeling the love from the K-State, from the rest of the K-State family. And that's a great thing to see.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, so Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast, rolling on the first Saturday of June. So, kind of a weird transition to that, but that has to be addressed. Now, finally, Alex, talk a little bit about K-State men's basketball.
What a joyful topic.
The unfortunate of, so we're going to switch from the gridiron for a couple of weeks to the hard court, and oh my goodness. So coming off of his second ever conference Big 12 title, Bruce Weber. And then this past season, I mean, I'm going to just start from the top. All right, so K-State was preseason to pick 9th, I think it was. I might be wrong, but and everybody here in Manhattan was really, really upset because why were picked 9th? Because we have Cardi Jada back, and then at that point, we didn't know Xavier Snead was going to be back or not until the very last day, or literally last hour
you can come back.
Yeah, so you're thinking we have X back, we have Mayween, we have these talented freshmen, a lot of talk around Dejuan Gordon. Man, we'll prove these jokers that we're better than 9th. Well, now we're fast forward to this early summer. And I know K-State finished strong, you know, beating Iowa State and then getting TCU in the Big 12 first round of the tournament before COVID-19 interrupted that tournament and everything else. Disappointing, and I don't have the standings in front of me right now. I'll switch my screen here in a minute, but 3-15, Alex, in Big 12 play with an overall record of 11-21. What? And then now, with everything that happened with this team, Cardi Zada drama, the transferring, the KU throwdown at in Lawrence, just little peaks, but more valleys with this basketball team. And now you have David Sloan, who transferred a while back, and Levi Stockard in his senior season. You would think that the opportunity is there.
I don't understand that one.
I did not understand that one either. Levi Stockard.
He literally was going to get an increase in minutes, so whatever.
You were going to get the starting position, and you said, heck, we're going to be young, real young. I'm out. See ya. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I did not understand that one. And David Sloan, I could see that one.
That one made a little more sense. That one made a little bit more sense because K-State did have some young talent coming in. At that position, so he thought, okay, you know, he would have got some PT, but he probably wouldn't have been starting. But Levi Stockard one just didn't make sense because he was already coming off the bench a lot. He even started in a handful of instances where they might have been missing that Montavis Murphy and Antonio Gordon and things like that. And that one just didn't make sense because he was set to get a lot of minutes. Enjoy his time at VCU. I saw that's where he's going.
So you said VCU?
That's what it said. And I looked it up, yeah. And it looked like David Sloan was going to East Tennessee State, I believe it was.
Interesting. But yeah, but obviously, I mean, I didn't. But again, I know we're already been hammering on Stockard, but I don't have this name in front of me right now, but there was a transfer coming here from UTEP. I might be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure I'm 90% right on that.
But you are 100% right on that, Eddie. There is a transfer coming from UTEP. I'm blanking on his name now.
Yeah, I don't have his name in front of me right now.
They're recruiting class, so I can get the name. But they do. They do have a transfer coming from UTEP, and that should help. That should help alleviate some of those losses, Stockard.
Okay, so, yeah, you mentioned recruiting class. I want to save that for probably next week's episode because I wanted to talk about them a little bit more in depth just a little bit. But, yeah, obviously it's Bruce's best recruiting class since he's gotten here. Obviously, you know, we know what Barry Brown, Dean Wade, and Kamau Stokes did for this university. That's obvious. But, I mean, man, I mean, Cardi Zada drama. I mean, the dude was supposed to be, and I don't know if he had his own agenda or not, but apparently he did. But he was a very disappointment, and I don't know which was much more disappointing, Alex, Cardi or McCall Maywean's drop from being decent, decent underneath the basket to very, very inconsistent in his senior season. You would think a lot of people thought that he was going to at least take the next step forward. He went three steps backwards.
Can we just make it a tie between them two, Eddie? No, I'm kidding. Don't make it a tie because I actually don't manage this. So, but following me, I'll be 100% honest. I never was a big fan of McCall Maywean at his time at K-State because he just, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, and I hope it doesn't come off that way, but he always seemed kind of soft to me for a big man, and I thought K-State needed someone down low who was a little more physical, who was a little more aggressive, who had a little more, played with a little more physicality, and I just felt like K-State was lacking that down Jordan Love, and he got pushed around. I always felt like he kind of got pushed around because of it. So I was never convinced that he was going to take this next step. I hoped that he would make the next step, but I was never convinced that it was going to happen. With Cardi, I did think that it would happen because he came in his freshman year and he did some nice things, and I thought, oh, there's some good flashes. He could be a good nice player for K-State. And then he played real well in the NCAA tournament when they made their Elite Eight run.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was great. And sophomore year, the year that K-State, won the Big 12, he seemed like he took a step, and he was playing on a different level. And then obviously he had the mysterious hand injury that we still don't know to this today what happened. But he had a mysterious hand injury. Fortunately, they were still able to win the Big 12, but he had that. So you come back his junior year and you're thinking, okay, he's now he gets to be the leader. Now he gets to lead the team, and then it just crumbled, and it did not work at all as planned. And I believe it was John Kurtz. It could have been Kellis Robinette who said this, but I think it was John Kurtz who said it with the best description of Cardi. Is that he's like the fun uncle. You know, when you're around him, or he'll be best remembered as like the fun uncle. When you're around him, he's a lot of fun. He does a lot of cool things. You want to hang out with him. You kind of envy him, and you're like, oh, he's so cool. But when it comes time to be the dad and be the leader, he can't take that responsibility to be able to take care of you every day and be able to lead you every day. Essentially saying, look, when he had Barry, Dean, Kamau all in there, and he was playing in the complimentary role, i.e. the uncle, he was great. He was flashy. He had an awesome dunk against KU, to end that game. When Barry, Dean, and Cam would get all the attention, it would leave him open in a lot of good positions, and he was able to take advantage of them and be really effective. When they were gone, and he had to be the quote-unquote dad and the leader of the team, he just didn't seem to have those leadership characteristics that were needed. And then when he was getting more attention thrown at him, he became less effective on the court, and so kind of played better in the complementary role. And so it was unfortunate to see that. It was unfortunate to see what happened with him and Bruce at Texas Tech, I believe it was.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
They had an incident. So that was unfortunate as well. To be 100% honest, I don't think either side handled that or handled it great. Last year, I think that the coaching staff could have handled it better. I think Cardi could have handled it better. But at the same time, I don't hold a grudge against either side because it was kind of a tough position for each. Cardi puts coaching staff in a bad position at times. Sometimes the coaching position put Cardi in a bad position. It seemed like they kind of built an animosity between each other for it. I will give credit to Cardi and the coaching staff for being able to work through it and stay cordial and get through the season without anything major happening. Cardi, I do believe he loves K-State, and I do believe that's where his heart will always be. And I do believe, I don't think Bruce Weber regrets going out and recruiting him and bringing him in because he did a lot of great things for K-State in his time there, and I think you have to give him credit for the Elite Eight run his freshman year and winning a Big 12 title sophomore year. I don't know if K-State does those things without Cardi. So I think that coaching staff is grateful for him, and I think he is grateful for them. It just seemed like it kind of ran its course, and that just wasn't going to fit. It was like me trying to put the battery on my car today, Eddie. I had the wrong battery. I just couldn't get the darn positive jack to fit. I thought I had the wrong battery. So I guess in this case, Cardi's the wrong battery for the K-State basketball team. They need a new battery mate in the front court, and I guess they'll be getting that soon. How about that for an analogy?
Yeah, that's a pretty funny analogy there. Yeah, so Cardi Jada is going to be a graduate transfer. He's going to Virginia Tech now. He followed one of the former K-State coaches. I don't have his name. I'm losing his name at the moment, though. But he did, because at the moment, Hardy going over to Virginia Tech, and another guy that was supposed to be pretty good player that I have not talked about yet. We talked about Stockard and Sloan transferring. Sean Williams, or was it supposed to be Sean Neal Williams, now changed to Sean Williams, this scorer, supposedly, quote-unquote, Bruce Weber, and he decided, I'm out. Early on, like, not even towards conference play, I believe he didn't make it today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then obviously the non-existent Nigel Shad and James Love III, except for when you want to throw down.
James Love made one appearance.
So you want to throw down at in Lawrence. I gave him this thought a little bit while preparing for this show in the middle of this week, Alex. It baffles me that KU, with all that's going on, obviously, with Bill Self and what they're going through, this whole deal and whatnot, obviously, how they can... Well, recruit before they got caught, but they recruit all this talent year in, year out, could compete for Big 12 titles, and you have Bruce Weber over here in Little Apple. Yes, he's gotten us to two Big 12 conference champ titles.
Yeah.
Elite Eight run, a couple wins in the NCAA tournament, It showed really after this year, after this season, this past year, of the talent advantage. Now, we've already mentioned a little bit about the recruiting class that's coming in. We'll dive into that next week. But, I mean, we finished last
in
the Big 12 Conference, and KU's always competing for these Big 12 titles year in and year out. I mean, I just don't understand it. And Bruce Weber, he's been here a long time, and I was thinking about that on edge for him to go, but apparently they're gonna let it slide. But now with all this more interchange with Sloan Stockard out, and you have this whole new batch of freshmen coming in here. We're going to be struggling again, and yes, we'll talk about the past freshmen here in a moment, but we're going to have a new set of freshmen coming in here. This is going to be another, this looks like it's going to be another long year for this basketball team, unless the Nigel Pax, the Miguel something.
I know, I always got to look when I'm saying his name.
But, yeah, Selton Miguel, that's it, that's the name. But unless these guys can mature quickly, it's going to be another long year. And obviously, I haven't looked around the country about Baylor was really good this past year. The Texas Techs, the West Virginia, self-destructed. But
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not trying to compare talent yet because we haven't seen nothing yet. But when you look at this roster. Coming into the fall, this upcoming fall, hopefully, you're thinking, damn, this is going to be another long year. So, what are your thoughts about, you know, this as a whole? Because right now, Mike McGurl is the only person left over from this team from a year ago. The only person, and he, to me, would be a six. I mean, yes, he started a few games, and I get it, but he's better. He's the, to me, in my opinion, the sixth man for this K-State team.
Hands down. When you say that, Eddie, you mean he's the only like upperclassman?
Yeah, he's the only upperclassman. Yeah,
not referring to like the freshman from this past year.
Did
we lose all the freshmen too, Eddie? Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, not to say that, then, yeah, but Murphy, Antonio Gordon, and Dejuan Gordon. So, Yeah, McGurl, he's the only senior.
Exactly.
So.
Yep. No, you're right there. You know, I'll unpack this a little bit. There's a lot to unpack there, Eddie, and I'll do it here a little bit. So first off, nothing like the first to last jump, right? You know, the very common conference champs to last place finish back to back. That was so weird. But with the season, you know, you're right. They were projected ninth coming into the year. Or something along those lines, and I was with you. I thought that, you know, I thought they'd finish more middle of the pack. I was with you. I thought, you know, you have Cardi, you have X coming back, you got a nice freshman class. No, they're not going to be as good as last year. They'll struggle on offense a little bit, but, you know, Bruce Weber's teams, they always have good defense, and K-State will find a way to, you know, finish about 500 in conference play, probably be a bubble team. You know, find a way to maybe get in 11, 12 seed, something like that. So that's kind of what my thought process was. Clearly went horribly wrong. You know, Bruce Weber did refer to a lot of close losses, a lot of injuries and things like that. And yes, that is true. Those things did happen, but it kind of came off as an excuse. You know, the team just wasn't as good as we thought that they would be. And, with that said, a positive that I felt was that I felt like some of the freshmen did develop. And so I do feel like you're going to get, I feel like you got some good players in Dejron Gordon, Montavis Murphy, and Antonio Gordon. I mean, I think that they're players that have, I think there's something there, especially with Dejron Gordon. I think that there's something there, and I think that they can be real, real nice players for K-State in the future. But you're right. Looking at next year, you're going to have eight or nine new players. Something I forget the exact number. It's eight or nine, something like that. That is a lot of turnover. And we've talked about, from the football perspective, the coronavirus. And I told you, man, Eddie, continuity. That's mm-hmm. going to be so important, you know, because these teams, everything's going to be out of whack, you know, with the coronavirus. And it's going to affect fans in the stands, and it's going to affect the way that you practice and the way you do this and the way you do that, meetings and workouts and all this different stuff. So having continuity, having upperclassmen, having veterans, like that's going to be the name of the game, and those teams are going to be, in my opinion, the ones that succeed the most. And I said, look, I think that's why K-State football's in a good position. You know, they've got a lot of players coming back. They got a senior KP who's got a lot of adversity. Oh, that's good. Flip it to the basketball team. You're in a complete opposite situation. You've got a bunch of new players. They're really, really young. The one good thing you have going is you do have a veteran coach. I don't know, though, how many people are going to feel terribly confident that Bruce will handle the situation that they want to handle. But, you know, it's going to be, in my opinion, another long year. And I don't know if you remember this, Eddie. My senior year of college was the 2014-2015 year where K-State was predicted to win the Big 12 that year. They were predicted to win it. And that was the year that Marcus Foster was going into a sophomore year. Wes was going into his sophomore year. K-State had some new players, and everyone's like, oh, this team's going to be great. I feel like to begin the year, they were ranked really high, too. Anyway, they ended up being a complete clunker. And I was sitting there on the radio on Wildcat World of Sports, and I was like, go. Bruce has got to go. You know, he came in.
I remember.
I'm pretty sure I had you on as a guest.
You did. Yep.
Because my co-host, Bill Gurney, and I, we disagreed. He thought, no, Bruce should stay, and I was like, no, he should go. His first year, he had this loaded team, and yes, he won the Big 12, and that was great, but he blew it. He lost his first game, and then the team sucked, and then they bounced back, and then they were okay, and then, but then he couldn't win, and he hasn't won a tournament game, and now that he just ruined this team, and everybody's transferring, get him out. I was not having it at all. So since then, K-State had this awful year, and believe it or not, people are going to be surprised, but I was wrong about Bruce. I want to be on the record saying that I believe I was wrong about Bruce, because since I said that, Bruce has won a Big 12 title with his guys. Bruce has made an Elite Eight run with his guys. And people can say, oh, you know, things broke right for him. They played 16 seed. And yes, that is true. You know, things did, you know, if they play Virginia in the, I guess technically the third round, but really the second round, if they play them there, who knows if they even make it to the Sweet 16. But look, they beat Kentucky in the Sweet 16. Now, Val, that was some good validation.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was just an amazing game. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Bruce on that Elite Eight run. That's well-deserved, in my opinion. And so I was wrong about him. And then he followed it up, you know, obviously, as we talked about, you know, winning the Big 12 again with them. They did lose, and they did blow it. I felt like that was actually a really bad matchup for him going in. So I didn't feel very good about that game going in. So I was, I'm not going to hold that one again. And Dean was hurt too. So I just didn't hold that one against him. So when this season happened and everything kind of fell apart, I felt like, you know what, Bruce, you've proven it to me that you are doing things the right way, that you've won, that you can win here, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Mm. And so I gave him the benefit of the doubt for last year. And I know some people are probably like, who is this talking right now? This isn't the same guy that I can remember. And you're right. Believe it or not, it is the same guy. But I'm willing to give Bruce the benefit of the doubt there. And I'm even going to give Bruce a pretty long leash into this upcoming year, because I don't expect, with this team being so young, so many new, you can't expect that dude to come in and just, you know, flip the switch and go and be competitive. I mean, you know, they're going to play young. They're going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter who's coaching them. When you've got guys that are predominantly freshmen and sophomores on your team, you're going to make freshman and sophomore mistakes on the court. And so for me, I want to just see improvement and development. And that's kind of what last year turned into for me. You know, when you realize K-State was not going to have a good year, I just wanted to see the freshmen get better. I wanted to see them progress. And I felt like we did see that to a degree. I want to see them take the next step. I want to see this class that we'll talk about later that's coming in, I want to see them progress through the year. I want to see this team get better because I feel like what's going to have to happen is kind of like with Barry, Cam, because after K-State had that disaster season that I threw a fit about, then next year you got a whole batch of new freshmen, and it included Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, and Dean Wade, and that whole group. Mm. And they weren't great that first year. They went like 6-12 in Big 12 play, and they didn't make any postseason tournaments or anything like that. But they got better through the season, and then their next year they made progress, and then their junior year they had the Elite Eight run, and then the senior year they won the Big 12, and it didn't happen overnight. It was a 4-year process, and so this isn't going to happen overnight. I'm not saying that this group is going to be as successful as Barry, Cam, and Dean. Maybe they are. Maybe they do win a Big 12 title. Maybe they do make an Elite Eight run. Maybe they are as successful. Maybe they're more successful. But I wouldn't put that weight of those three on them. I'm just saying I feel like it's a similar situation. You can't expect these guys to come out and just be great next year, right out of the gate. They're just too young. And I've heard Fran Fraschilla talk about it. You can think what you want about Fran Fraschilla. People can. But he is right. You know, when he talks about, you know, young teams are going to play young. And veteran teams are going to be the ones that are going to play smarter, more disciplined basketball. They've got the experience. They got the continuity. And I already think that's going to be important coming into the year. So these guys are going to have to learn how to play with each other. They're going to have to grow into college basketball players, mentally, physically, emotionally. And hopefully we can see progression from them. You know, if they can make a run at the NCAA tournament, that would be fantastic. That would absolutely, in my opinion, be a success for the season. I just want to see progression. I want to see them be more competitive. It's kind of the way I felt going into the first season with Chris Klein, actually. Thinking about it, when Bill Snyder was gone, Bill Snyder's last year, K-State just got blown out. They went 5-7, so they did win some games, but they just got blown out when they played good teams. And it just didn't seem like players were getting better. I want to see players get better throughout the year, and I wanted to see them be more competitive in games. I know that they did play a lot of close games last year, but it still felt like there was a handful of games where they weren't competitive. And the thing about that team is when you look at the way, just look at the way they played KU at home to end the year. They almost beat KU at home with that team last year. And that team was, that KU team was really good last year. So, you know, but then they would have a game where they would lose by 30 to Texas Tech. And they didn't literally lose by 30 to Texas Tech, but then they'll play competitive against Baylor at home. But then they'll get blown out by Texas. But then they beat West Virginia at home. And it's like, what? Like, you gotta be more, you can't be all over the map like that. I mean, it's great to be able to play competitive against some of those good teams, but K-State needs to be more consistent, more competitive, and that's really the biggest thing that I'm going to be looking for. And just one final note that I want to get in when we're talking about basketball. Really feel bad for X, because X came back this past year, his senior year, could have gone to the NBA. Came back, really wanted to help kind of in that transition year, and it just went horribly wrong. And I felt so bad for him. He could have gone to the NBA with that Big 12 championship. It's his lasting memory there, and he kind of did a selfless thing and came back to K-State to help him out, and obviously improve his draft stock as well. And then to see the way it went was really frustrating. I'm just glad he didn't get hurt. He didn't drop his draft stock or anything by an injury like that. He did have an injury scare late in the year, but it hurt me to see. That's who I felt the worst for in that season was Xavier Sneed. Because talk about a player that does everything the right way. And look, is he going to go in? Is his jersey going to be? Is his number going to be? Put into the rafters? No, probably not. But look, he's really good K-State basketball player, and he's committed to the program, committed to the team, and so it kind of stung for him that he had to go through that. So hopefully, he can go through the NBA process and get on a team and start doing his thing there. But yeah, so those are my expectations going into next year.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Purple Project Podcast. Just a few more minutes here on this edition here of the Purple Project Podcast, focused on K-State athletics and what's going on around the community of the Little Apple, the MHK, Manhattan, Kansas. Yeah, Alex. I felt bad for him as well. X man. I mean, yeah, he could have went there to wait. He made a tough decision that much tougher when waiting to the last minute there, and then wanted to help him out, wasn't being a pain about it, like you said, and led, and obviously 14.2 leading score, 14 points a game. Did what he had to do, lit up Iowa State. That was he struggled a little bit against TCU in the Big 12 game there, but had his moments there. But that the final game, home game at Brown Millage for X was my favorite moment for him. I mean, yeah, he had some big moments, including, it's actually kind of hard to top what he did against Kentucky in the Sweet 16 a few years ago, but yeah, he lit up Iowa State from the jump there, and he at least went out with a two-game winning streak there, beating Iowa State and then taking care of TCU there. But X, he had a tremendous career at K-State there, so that was great to see him to do that.
Eddie, to piggyback one more thing on X, and you're right, 31 points for him in that Iowa State game, which is just a great way for him to go out at K-State. But what I wanted to just touch on quickly before you transition is he kept his head up, and he kept a good attitude through it. I mean, I think that was the most telling thing for me, is he didn't start pouting and thinking, oh gosh, why did I do this? And then he's like, well, you know what, we suck. I'm packing it in. It's time to go to the NBA. I mean, I'm playing for nothing. Because let's be honest, he had nothing to gain and everything to lose. Once you realize that K-State was not going to be competing for anything. And he very well could have just said, you know what, forget this. Like, I'm not jeopardizing my NBA career for this. You know, I'm not like an automatic lottery pick or anything like that. I'm not doing it. I'm packing it up and playing it safe and forget this and forget you guys. You know, he very well easily could have done that, and I wouldn't have blamed him. But he didn't do it. He continued to stay optimistic and stay positive and just work his tail off all season long. And you know, that's what it's about right there. So tip of the cap to him for doing that, keeping that same attitude and continuing to work hard and setting an example for those freshmen on how this thing goes. On, it doesn't matter how the season goes. It doesn't matter what's on the line. When you're in this program, you play hard all the time with that head held high. So that was encouraging to see.
Yeah, that's for sure there. And kind of weird transition. I'm just looking at this now. The guy that I wanted to mention and didn't say earlier, and we haven't even gone through. Yeah, there we go. So we haven't mentioned Pearson McAtee. Also was a senior right here in the local town of Manhattan, Kansas. He did some nice things throughout his career, including getting that beatdown of the Cyclones in that final home game there. So I wanted to give him a shout-out there.
Yes.
So, yeah, Pearson McAtee, a very good guy. Got the last scholarship there.
Great story.
Awesome, awesome story there for Pearson McAtee there. So he also goes out on a very high note there. Yes, there was not much to cheer about for K-State basketball as a whole this year, and I'm going to move we'll talk more in depth about, of course, the freshmen from last year, now sophomores, Dejuan Gordon, Martavis Murphy, and Antonio Gordon. Obviously, there was a lot of hype, and this is going to be the last kind of thought here before we close things down, but yeah. Antonio Gordon, you talked about a little bit a while ago, Alex. You want to see these guys develop more and be more of a factor. Dejuan Gordon, all three of these guys hit a wall at some point during the year.
They did the freshman wall. They
hit the freshman wall, yeah. Montavis Murphy, he was very good. He was injured in and out of the starting lineup there, so you hope that he's healthy. You want to see more. I want to see more from Dejuan Gordon, especially because there's been a lot of hype around him here in Manhattan, around the talk shows. I want to see a little bit more, especially going into next year. Antonio Gordon, and not related, but Antonio Gordon, you want to see more improvement from him. So we'll talk more about these guys next week, along with the very talented incoming class that Bruce Weber has. But yeah, any last thoughts on these freshmen, now sophomores?
Yeah. Yep, the soon to be sophomores. Honestly, with them, I think you're right. You want to see them continue to progress and continue to get better. You're right. They all had good moments last year, and they all hit the freshman wall at some year that you see with nearly every freshman that's not a blue chip 5-star recruit going to Kentucky or KU. So if they're not a blue chip 5-star recruit going to Kentucky or KU, they're probably not a superhuman, and they probably will hit a freshman wall at some point. And so that's what happened with all three. That's what I expect to happen at some point with the guys coming in next year as well, because you're learning. You're playing on a whole other level. That's what people need to realize. You're playing at a whole different level,
mm-hmm,
and it's
right.
Taking time to adjust to that level. So you may get out of the gates early going, but you may hit that wall because you haven't played that many games before, or you haven't played against that type of physicality, or you haven't played against that type of speed, or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of different things that can factor into that. But looking at these three particular guys, they all did some nice things. They all hit that wall. You're right. They need to take that next step, and especially Dejuan Gordon. I agree with you 100% because K-State needs Dejuan to be good for them to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish long term. You know, he's got to be a part of it. He's really he had a lot of hype coming in. He showed off some of that, some of what he has to offer. You know, he was a little inconsistent. And like I said, not going to hold that against him for his freshman year. Let's see what he does the sophomore year. He, for anybody who follows him on social media, he has been working his tail off, according to his social media and what he's been posting this offseason to get better. So to me, it seems like he is really committed to getting better. Now, I will say that with a little caution because I don't know if you recall, but there were the rumors of, you know, Marcus Foster's freshman and sophomore year. I remember hearing the rumors of, you know, we had to give him a key to the gym because he wanted to be in there so much in between off seasons, going from freshman year to sophomore year. He just lived in the gym and all these things. And I remember hearing that stuff. And his sophomore year didn't go so great, led to him transferring out and having a fantastic career at Creighton for that. So that didn't work out. So I will say with a little caution, but I don't get that same type of thing from Dejuan. I think it's a totally different situation than Marcus was in, and I really think that you know, he can take a big step. I'll be a little disappointed if he doesn't. To be honest, Eddie, I really will. And with Montavious Murphy, he was good when he was in there, but he fought a lot of injuries, and so he's got to prove that he can play. Play through a season healthy. You know, that's the biggest thing. We didn't get to see enough of him. When we saw him, I liked what I saw. I really did. And I think that he can be a really nice piece for K-State, but he's going to have to be healthy. So he needs to prove he can stay healthy. Dejuan needs to prove that he can take that next step because, one, he has the expectation to because he's a highly touted guy, and two, K-State needs him to accomplish things they want to. And then Antonio Gordon, he had some good moments. I like his physicality. I like his aggressiveness. He has a couple of those things that I don't think McCall Newean had. But he was way too inconsistent. So he needs to become more consistent underneath the basket. And he also needs to show that he can play a little more level-headed. At times he got a little too emotional out on the court last year. So, you know, it really is a work in progress for all of them, but they all just need to really work on taking that next step and getting on the court. And then really they start turning into leaders because K-State's going to be really young and they're going to need leaders on this court, so on this team. So I would love to see Dejuan embrace that leadership role, and kind of the way that Jacob Poland did, not comparing Dejuan to Jacob Poland, not doing that, but have him embrace the role, kind of when Michael Beasley and Bill Walker left. You saw Jacob Poland that sophomore year kind of embrace that role that year and then carry it on. So somebody on this K-State team is going to have to embrace that role of a leader. And yes, I expect Mike McGurdle to do that, obviously, as the senior.
Yeah.
Coming back. But somebody else is going to have to do it. And just looking through the roster and at the team, I think Dejuan Gordon needs to be that guy to do it. I really do. I think that would have the most significant impact for this team. And so I'm hoping to see that from him.
Nice stuff, Alex. Nice stuff. And we're going to put a pin on it right here and pick back up on it next week, part two of men's basketball from this past year. And we're going to probably throw in a little bit of women's talk in there as well with the basketball team, in particularly Peyton Williams, for next episode. So looking forward to that. My man, Alex, where can everybody find you on social media before we close this thing out?
That's right. Find me on social media because social media is the place to be right now. My gosh, social media is crazy, Eddie. It is so crazy right now. There's a lot of toxic stuff on social media, but there's also a lot of great stuff. on social media. So, anyway, for me, you can find me a couple spots. The personal Twitter is at AFACHTEN. You can find me there with all the personal hot takes that I have. Would love to have a conversation with people regarding K-State sports. I had a couple conversations with people regarding K-State sports this week. Always love to talk about that. And then the professional Twitter, is Alex_ITRC. That is where you'll see the more professional side of me. You'll see me some of the stuff that I'm working on with my company that I work for. You can find it there. And also, I think it's also a good follow too. But those are the two spots.
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. Another good conversation, Alex. Hey, let's do it again next week, sir.
Let's do it again. Maybe I'll have a working car by the time we do it too. So
yeah, let's all hope so.
Fingers crossed, Eddie. Fingers crossed.
Let's all hope so, my man.
Hey, take it easy, man.
That's gonna wrap things up for the Purple Project podcast. I believe. Oh man, I don't even know the own number, but it'll be all posted on there. Every Tuesday, a new episode of the Purple Project podcast. You will find that on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And we don't know right now if it's on iHeartRadio or not. We're going to get one or two more podcasting outlets going here and see if we can get hooked up with them for this podcast. But again, shout out Manhattan for what you were doing in community this past week, including with the silent protests, all caps, silent protests. So, hey, we got to be better. That's all I'm going to say. We got to be better all across the board when it comes to this kind of stuff. Please. And again, thank you, Alex Aiden, co-host of the podcast, and Eddie Greer, the third, saying thank you for listening to another edition of the Purple Project podcast. And we'll talk to you guys again next week. Of course, all episodes can be found on Spotify. Download it. Tell your friends. Tell your K-State friends, family about this podcast. K-State family, we are one. This has been the Purple Project Podcast. Here come them cats.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.